चापि भूतानि
अकीर्तिचापि भूतानि अकीर्तिचापि भूतानि
कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम्
कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम् कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम्
अकीर्तिचापि भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम्
अकीर्तिचापि भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम् अकीर्तिचापि भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययाम्
संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः
संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः
मरणादतिरिच्यते
मरणादतिरिच्यते मरणादतिरिच्यते
संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः मरणादतिरिच्यते
संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः मरणादतिरिच्यते संभावितस्य च कीर्तिः मरणादतिरिच्यते
सो कृष्ण talked about from the standpoint of view of Atma, that Atma cannot be killed. And he also talked about from the standpoint of Anatma, the body. Body is supposed to perish. There is no point in worrying about for the body because it will perish one day. And then as a dharma of a kshatriya, it is his duty to fight adharma. So there is no point in trying to get away from this war because this is a dharma yuddha. As a kshatriya, it is for him to fight adharma and then establish dharma. So from the point of view of dharma also, he cannot get out of that war. And he analyzed what are the gains Arjuna would get if he fights the war. Then he will get kirti, he will get fame, he will get name, he will also get swargam. Veera swargam he will get after death. So these are all gains if he fights this war. And he also analyzed the losses. What would be the loss if he does not fight the war? He will lose his fame. He will also falter from his swadharma as a kshatriya. So he will not get punyam. He will also get papam. So these are all the losses, the gains. From various angles, Krishna tried to analyze and convince Arjuna that he has to fight this war. He cannot just fight this war because Krishna asked him to fight the war. He has to fight the war because of the understanding that it is the right thing to do. That is what he was trying to establish. Now he is continuing the same discussion in this shloka. He says, Bhutani akirtim katayishyanti. Bhutani, all the people, all beings, what will they say? Katayishyanti, what will they talk about you? Akirti, about your, the way, they will talk about the way your fame, how it is lost. They will talk about ill of you. They will do all that thing. How long they will talk? Avyayam, remain ever further in the world. As long as people exist, they will talk about you, they will talk ill of you. As a kshatriya, you faltered. As a kshatriya, you ran away from this war. That's what they will be talking to you all the time. Actually, only Brahman is avyayam. All other things are not avyayam. But here, the talk will be forever. They will be talking about you all the time because normally, we never, sampradaya, history is not written by a historian. They are not, some historian did not write the history of, you know, some that civilization. No. Our records are through poetry, by our poets. If a king did good things, then there will be a lot of good poems written on the glory of the king. So from that you infer all these Puranas and all also there. And there are so many poems written on the fame of so many kings. What they did, what they did not do. So if they did good things, the poets will write. If they do bad things, the poets will write. And they are going to stay forever. So this is how our record has been kept. Not by a historian who wrote history and then, okay, there is a history of our sampradaya. No, we only had all these poems which wrote about the kings and how they were doing. If the king is not good, they will say so. Such a king was a tyrant king. So generation after generation, people will talk about you as one who did not follow swadharma. Because as a kshatriya, you have to follow the swadharma. You did not. So, avyayam, akirtim,
endless ill fame. Akiyama kirti means endless ill fame. They will be talking, they will be spreading about you all the time. And here also it is still worse. Why? Because ill fame coming to an ordinary person does not matter. He is an ordinary guy. But Arjuna is a great warrior, a great kshatriya. Ill fame coming to him, that's the biggest problem. For example, if you have a small, the fruit of a, what is that tree? Alamrat, what is that? Banyan tree is Alamrat. The fruits, it's a small fruits. If that falls, nothing happens. But if you have got a great pumpkin falling from somewhere, it is going to shatter into pieces. So that is your stage. You have become so big. You are such a very famous person. And if you fall, it is going to be a very, very big fall. The damage is going to be very high, the higher you fall. So he says, sambhavitasya purushasya. Sambhavitasya purushasya. For a person who has been honored till now, sambhavitasya. For a person who has been honored till now, akirtihi maranatin atirichyate. The ill fame, akirti maranat, even worse than death. Dishonor is even worse than death. Akirtihi maranat atirichyate. So people may even commit suicide. There was a guy who designed the Taj Hotel in Gateway of India in Bombay. Beautiful hotel, nicely designed. All these things were done, the architect. They thought they will hire some, I think a French or some architect to do that. Not an Indian national, somebody else. This guy did everything. And when they opened it, they found he kept the entrance of the hotel from the side lane, not in the main lane. The main, such a beautiful hotel, the main entrance is supposed to be on the main road. Put it in the side road by whatever mistake we don't know. Person committed suicide. Because people will talk about such a guy. Who designed such a hotel? That is what the architect's thing is going to be in his head. So, because of akirti, people may even commit suicide. Arjuna, even if you die, it does not matter, but your honor is important. Because you are a kshatriya king, you should be a dharmic king, so your honor is very important.
Bhaya dranadu paratham.
Bhaya dranadu paratham. Bhaya dranadu paratham.
Mamsyante tvam maharatah.
Mamsyante tvam maharatah. Mamsyante tvam maharatah.
Bhaya dranadu paratham. Mamsyante tvam maharatah.
Bhaya dranadu paratham. Mamsyante tvam maharatah. Bhaya dranadu paratham. Mamsyante tvam maharatah.
Yeshan chatvam bahumato.
Yeshan chatvam bahumato. Yeshan chatvam bahumato.
Bhutva yasyasi laghavam.
Bhutva yasyasi laghavam. Bhutva yasyasi laghavam.
Yeshan chatvam bahumato. Bhutva yasyasi laghavam.
Yeshan chatvam bahumato. Bhutva yasyasi laghavam. Yeshan chatvam bahumato. Bhutva yasyasi laghavam.
So how the people will spread the ill fame of Arjuna, that is being talked here. How the Duryodhanas, how they will dishonor Arjuna and all other people, they are indicated here. If Arjuna drops this battle and goes away, as far as he is concerned, it is out of sympathy and compassion. Because he doesn't want to fight these teachers, he doesn't want to fight Bhishma. So out of his sympathy, compassion, consideration for the elders, he wants to leave. Arjuna does not know what is fear at all in life. Because he is not running out of fear. He is going out of these considerations. He has fought so many wars. He is a great warrior. But he is not running out of fear. But what the Duryodhanas will interpret? They will take advantage of the situation and they may spread the news that Arjuna is running out of the war out of fear. They may interpret it that way. So Krishna says, Maharataha Mamsyante. Maharataha, all these great warriors of Duryodhana's side. They are all Maharathis also. Many of them. All those great warriors, they will think, Mamsyante, what? Bayat Uparatam. Bayat Uparatam, that you have withdrawn from this war. Uparatam means withdrawn. You have withdrawn from this war out of fear. Out of fear of the war. And if they imagine like that, that is possible also. Because You ran out of the war, you didn't explain, you just ran away. So they may think like that, since if he goes out of sympathy, he would not have as well started the war. If that was the consideration, he doesn't have to come to the battlefield at all. All conscience are blown. Everything is now ready to go. At that time, if this guy runs, they may interpret it that way. So Uparatam means withdrawn. They will think that you are withdrawing out of fear. Not only that, the king happens to be Duryodhana. And he being the king, what he has the advantage of? He has the advantage of mass media. So whatever the king says, everybody believes. So when he goes and spreads this message, this mass media is going to spread this akirti, this ill fame of you everywhere. So it is going to be worse for you. So yeshancha swam bahumataha bhutva, having been honorable all these years, all these times, honored by all these people like Bhishma, Drona, etc., having enjoyed such a honorable position. Bhagumataka means being honored. Being honored by all these people, now you are going to become what? Lagavam yasasi. Lagavam, you are going to become a worthless person. A worthless lagu means light one. A light one is lagu. And an ordinary disgraceful one here. This is what we should take it as disgraceful. Lagu. Lagavam yasasi, which is going to be very miserable for you. It is not going to be very pleasant at all for a kshatriya. It is going to be miserable. And what they normally say, there is a, normally a saying, sukham hi dukkhan yanubhuya shobate dhanantakare tvyadvipa darshanam sukattu yoyati naro daritratam drita sharirena mrita sajivati. After pain, suffering, poverty, if pleasure comes, no problem. It will be very enjoyable. Somebody was suffering all the time. Suddenly he got a lottery. Fantastic, he will enjoy it so much. But a guy was always in a great position, great wealth, all kinds of sukham. And if he falls, it is going to be really very unpleasant, very, very bad. So, dhananta kare chivadvipa darshanam, after suffering darkness, if a small flame is lit up, it is going to be very bright. Normally, when you go to this, in Hawaii and all these places where these tropical forests are there, there's a tunnel. Because the lava flew through that thing, it made a tunnel, went to the ocean. So they will take you inside that tunnel. Somewhere in the middle of the tunnel, it will be pitch dark. Pitch dark means pitch dark. You cannot see even the guy with you. At that time, that guy will light a match. Just to show how that match light is in that darkness. So for somebody who is in such a darkness, if a small light is there, that is fine. But when there is full light everywhere, bright all the time, suddenly if it becomes dark, very difficult for us to catch up. So when it is other way around, it is going to be a problem. So sukhaptu yo yati naro daritratam, after enjoying all pleasures, if the person becomes a daritra, a poor person, then drutam druta sharirena mrita sajivati, even though that person is alive for practical purposes, he is as good as dead. So that person is as good as a dead person. So if you do this, this is what? The lot that is in store for you if you run away from this war. That's what he is trying to tell him. Avachya vadam cha bahune.
Avachya vadam cha bahune. Avachya vadam cha bahune.
Vadishyanti tavahitaha.
Vadishyanti tavahitaha. Vadishyanti tavahitaha.
They will be telling things more than this actually. They are going not only just to this, they may be adding so many things to that. It's not just a, you just ran away from the war, but they will add tales, so many stories will be built, you know, how people gossip so nicely, it will all spread so much. Not only they will say that you are afraid of the battle, still they will say even worse things. They will avachya vadan, because there are so many things which they will tell, I don't feel like telling them what they will tell. Krishna says, because these people are like this. They may say so many things about you, I don't feel like telling all of them to you. Avachya vadan, such statements which I cannot say openly. unutterable words they will tell about you. Avachyavada. And how many they will say? Bahuna. There is no limit. They will keep on talking. Every day they may find some new thing to talk about you. Because you are not the subject of talk. They will talk so much about you. Sensational news. All the newspapers headlines will be there. All sensational news. Actually, for example, if there is an ordinary person, anything happens to you, no problem. If there is a problem with the Swamiji's conduct, that's it, gone. It's all going to be in all newspaper, all media, everywhere. It's going to be like that. So he is very well known. Therefore, Bahunim Avachyavadan Vadishyanti. And why they will spread like that? Because Tava Ahitaha. Those people are your enemies. Hitaha means they are people who are in favor of you, who have good heart in you. They are Sukrats. This Ahitaha. The people who are against you, who are your enemies, they have no good feelings for you at all. So they are interested only in spreading bad message about you. And what will they talk about? Tava samartyam nindantaha. Tava samartyam. They will criticize about, speak low of your ability, your samartyam. They will talk about ill of your ability, your power, your skills. They are talking about all those things. Actually, this should be connected with vadishyanti. Tava samartyam nindantaha all vadishyanti. They are going to talk about all these things. So Arjuna, do you like this? Tato dukkataram nukhim. Which is more sorrowful, painful than this. If they have to talk all these things ill of you and spread bad message about you, what is more sorrowful than that? Krishna is asking. So from verses 33 to 36, Krishna talks about the loss if Arjuna does not fight this war. So he talked about the gain, he talked about the loss. So this is the fifth argument. So various arguments Krishna has given. So from the standpoint view of Atma, you have nothing to grieve. Atma cannot be destroyed. That's what he said first. So fight. They were all covered in shlokas 12 to 25. If you remember, just one letter recapitulate. 12 to 25. And from the standpoint of view of Anatma, the body, shlokas 26 to 13, you should not waver also, because body is going to perish. It is a fact. Accept the fact gracefully. You cannot challenge the fact, it is, you have to accept it gracefully. And in the 31st shloka, from the standpoint of your swadharma, you are a kshatriya. Kshatriya swadharma is to fight the war, because this is a dharma yuddham, you have to fight a dharma. And in the 32nd shloka, from the standpoint of your gain, what is it you will gain? You should fight. Fame you will get in this life, and you will also get swarga loka after death. And from 33 to 36, he talked about the loss. What he will incur? The loss of your honor you will lose. You will lose punya. And you will also get papa. All those things are going to be bad for you. So you cannot be happy in this life or in the life hereafter. So these are all Krishna's conclusions. So from all these angles, you should fight this war. And you should not shed tears anymore at all for this war. Having given all these arguments, now Krishna will continue, will conclude in the next shloka his verdict. He is going to conclude. Because of these various reasons, his conclusion is going to be what? You should fight this war. That is his conclusion. That is going to be said next.
Hato va prapsyasi swargam.
Hato va prapsyasi swargam. Hato va prapsyasi swargam.
Vavavokshyase
mahim. Jitva vavokshyase mahim. Jitva vavokshyase mahim.
Tato va prapsyasi swargam. Jitva vavokshyase mahim.
Tato va prapsyasi swargam. Jitva vavokshyase mahim. Tato va prapsyasi swargam. Jitva vavokshyase mahim.
Tasmad uttishta kaunteya.
Earlier in the 6th shloka, Nachaita Vidma Kataranno Gariyaha Yadva Jayema Yadivana Yadjayayahu. So the question he had was whether I should fight this war or not. That was the question he asked. Right? Whether I should fight this war or not. And because he is not able to decide at that time, I am not able to decide whether to fight, whether it is good to fight or not to fight. That was his question. And Krishna concludes here that he should fight this war, that is his verdict. But the beauty is what? Krishna does not say it in the beginning itself. When he asked the question in the 6th shloka, he would have just given the answer right then and stopped. But he did not do that. He went on giving all these reasons, so many shlokas, and then tried to give his verdict. Because Krishna does not want to blindly command Arjuna. If Krishna says fight the war, Arjuna will obey after all. Because he is going to definitely obey Krishna. But he doesn't want him to be like a baby, to blindly follow something. He wants to teach Arjuna and wants Arjuna to see what is the real reasoning, why he should fight the war. Then only it will stay, he will be convinced about this because of understanding. There is a lot of difference between a commandment or advice and teaching. Yeah, these are small things, but we should take note of. In the case of commandment, there is no thinking needed. You just to follow what somebody says. Somebody says do this, you just to do this. Don't think. There is no thinking, just to obey. Whereas the other person, he also does not follow the advice out of conviction because he doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know whether it is right or not. You said it, he will follow. This is what many parents do. They make the children go to this and that, go out of fear or whatever it is. The father is pestering, mother is pestering, they may do all that. Because they are not convinced yet. At that time, we have to take time to explain to the child. Even if it takes some time to explain to the child, it's good because it is worth it, it's going to stay. Otherwise, the child may listen now. After some time, oh, they have nothing else to do. Actually, I have one of our student families. They are very, you know, ritualistic and all that thing, good following all these things. But the son always say, you guys always do everything over. There is no need at all. You guys are unnecessarily doing it over. There is no, don't drag me into this. So he's gone. So, because they are not able to explain to the child why you should do certain things in this way. Because there is a lot of faith and understanding involved. I do this because scriptures told, but I do not understand the scriptures. So whenever there is any opposite condition, the person may give it up. Because so long as everything is congenial, he may follow. When something uncongenial comes, the person will just to quit. He will not, because that person will be wavering, because no understanding is there, and only blind faith and blind commandment was there, he is not going to follow. Whereas in teaching, the why of everything is given. For everything, there is a why you should do that. If you don't do it, what will happen? This analysis can be done during teaching. So advice or commandment is only a 2 minutes job. Whereas teaching is what? 18 chapter job. Krishna has to take so many chapter after chapter till Arjuna says, Nashto Moha. In the last chapter, he says, 18th chapter, Krishna says, my delusion is gone. Till that time, Arjuna is going to be taught, Krishna is going to quit. So, children will ask why we should do this, but what happened? Parents have to equip themselves with that knowledge. Normally what they do? Adhika Prasangi, you are talking too much, then make him sit. That it ends, that the child, you lose the child forever, because this is what happens many times. Parents have to be patient and they should be able to explain. So, teaching is important, very always important. When the intellect is not developed, you may not explain everything, everything possible. It's difficult in the intellect. So at that time, for example, if you tell the child, you should not put the finger inside this plug or whatever. Child, you cannot demonstrate. Put your finger there and so. So certain things, you have to do it in a diligent manner. This is Shastram also is same thing. Because there are a lot of things which the Shastram prohibits, which cannot be directly explained. So that is where parents have to take extra steps. How to explain those things. So it doesn't just happen. People have to do homework. So Arjuna asked the question, what to do and what not to do. That is the question he asked. Krishna could have given the answer earlier, but he resorted to teach as a teacher and not as an advisor or a commander. So he takes extra pain. What is Atma? What is Anatma? What is body? What is Dharma? So that Arjuna can understand all these things while fighting. So it takes 17 chapters for Lord to tell all this. So if it is a commandment, it would have been over. No? He would have just said, Yudhyasva. Now for example, Swamiji normally gives the example of a doctor. What the doctor? Doctor both as a consultant and the same doctor as a teacher. So when you go to the doctor, a patient comes with some whatever disease, whatever it is. Then what the doctor does? he diagnoses whatever it is, he writes some names you cannot understand, and he prescribes some medicine, you go and buy it and take it. Out of faith, doctor told you, you take it. It's a commandment. No, as a consultant, no problem. Now, the doctor, can he do that? The same thing when he teaches a team of medical students in a class. He cannot do that. He has to explain to the students what is involved in that medicine, why that medicine should be taken, what are the side effects of that. All these things he has to explain. There will be discussion. All those things, he cannot do the same thing as he does to the patient, to the students. That teaching is involved. In the other thing, it is only commandment or advice or consultant, that's it. So that is the difference between them. That's what Swamiji gives this example. So when the doctor advises, that is different. When the doctor teaches, it is different. Here, Arjuna is in Dukkham. Here, just a commandment is not adequate. At that time, he should be really explained what are the things involved. So that's why Krishna takes the role of a teacher here, and Arjuna, the student, will keep on asking questions. He is going to ask a lot of questions as we go along, and Krishna will patiently answer all of them. So Krishna says, Yuddhaya Krita Nishchayaha. Arjuna, you should now conclude to fight only. It should come out of your own conviction, your own understanding. It should be your own decision to fight, not because I ask you to fight. When you fight either way, you are going to get what? The benefit alone. What is the benefit? Hataha swargam prapsyasi. Hataha, if you are going to be killed in this war for whatever reason, then what you will get? You will get dhiraswargam. You are going to get heaven only. Dhiraswargam you will get. Death in the battlefield is a nobler cause. Because it's a dharma yuddham, you are going to get the nobler cause. Suppose you do not die and you become victorious. Okay, this war has become such that you are not dying, the enemies are all dying, and you become victorious. What will you get? You will get a great kingdom, which is as glorious as heaven. Such a kingdom you are going to get. Jitva, if you are victorious. Kataha, if you are killed. Jitva, if you are victorious, then what you will get? Mahim Bokshese. Mahim Bokshese. You will enjoy the heaven on earth. This kingdom is like heaven on earth. Such a great kingdom you are going to enjoy. So there is no loss for you at all. So you should fight. Yuddhayam krita nischayaha, with a decision to fight. Tasmad uttishta, because of that, now get up and fight this war. Sukha dukhe same krutva.
Sukha dukhe same krutva. Sukha dukhe same krutva.
Labha labhau jaya jayau.
Labha labhau jaya jayau. Labha labhau jaya jayau.
Sukha dukhe same krutva. Labha labhau jaya jayau.
Sukha dukhe same krutva. Labha labhau jaya jayau. Sukha dukhe same krutva. Labha labhau jaya jayau.
Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva.
Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva. Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva.
Naivam papam avapsyasi.
Naivam papam avapsyasi. Naivam papam avapsyasi.
Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva. Naivam papam avapsyasi.
Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva. Naivam papam avapsyasi. Tato yuddhaya yudhyasva. Naivam papam avapsyasi.
Here Krishna gives Arjuna an advice as to how to fight this war, with what attitude he should fight this war. He gives an advice to him to avoid the worries and tensions of fighting the war. Because fighting any battle is not at all easy. Fighting this big battle, life and death, without anxiety, irritation, fear, are all very, very difficult things to avoid all this. So he is going to give him a special medicine. And what is the medicine he gives? First attitude should be what? Sukha dukhe same krutva. Sukha, any battle involves sukham and dukham. Somebody will win, somebody will lose, somebody may die, somebody may gain. We don't know. So sukham and dukham are always there. All days may not be the same day. Some day may be a very, very treacherous day. Some day may be an easy day. We don't know. So the advice for everyone in life Krishna gives, right from morning coffee onwards, the moment you start the morning coffee, someday coffee is great. Another day coffee may be such, the saucers may fly. We don't know, depending on how the coffee is. Even for silly things like coffee, people can get irritated. This is, some days are good days, some days are not that good days. This is, we see it every day in life. So, what we should do? We should have an attitude to be ready to accept both. Because some days are good, nice. Some days are not that good. so be it, what we can do. So we should be able to accept it. So Krishna says, all those days, some of them may be sukham, happiness may be there, some days may not be. Learn, have an attitude to accept them. Labha, alabha, some days may be gainful, some days may not be gainful. You may have only loss some days. Some days business may be great, some days nothing would come out, or you may even incur a lot of loss. All this possible. And jaya, ajaya, somebody may lose, somebody may gain. So jayam may be there, victory may be there, sometimes when ajay may be there, there is not victory at all. So all these things, same kritva, looking at them alike. You should look at both of them alike. Okay, jayam is there, victory is there, fine. Victory is not there today, fine. That is how this day is, what we can do. So if there is something wrong, try to rectify it the next day. No point in worrying about them, no point in feeling bad about that. So tataha yuddhaya yujyasva, then start this battle with this attitude. When you enter into the battle, have this attitude. This day may be a good day, may not be a good day. This day may be a lot of, I may get victory, may not get victory, I don't know. So with this attitude, you enter into the war. Then get ready for this battle after suggesting to your mind all these things. I may get this, may not get this. Eva, in this manner, papam na avapsyasi. You will not incur any sin whatsoever. If you approach this battle with this attitude, you will not incur any sin whatsoever. No evil will come to you at all. Actually, this shloka is an introduction for the Karma Yoga topic. We are going to see elaborately Karma Yoga later. So, but this is Krishna just only alludes to the topic of Karma Yoga in this particular shloka. Krishna will discuss in detail later. He just puts a hint here. So fight this battle with this attitude, you will have no problem. Yesha te bihita sankhye.
Yesha te bihita sankhye. Yesha te bihita sankhye.
Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu.
Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu. Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu.
Yesha te bihita sankhye. Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu.
Yesha te bihita sankhye. Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu. Yesha te bihita sankhye. Buddhir yoge tvimam shrunu.
Buddhaya buddhya yukto yaya partha.
Buddhya yukto yaya partha. Buddhya yukto yaya partha.
Karma bandham prahasyasi.
Karma bandham prahasyasi. Karma bandham prahasyasi.
Buddhya yukto yaya partha. Karma bandham prahasyasi.
Buddhya yukto yaya partha. Karma bandham prahasyasi. Buddhya yukto yaya partha. Karma bandham prahasyasi.
Now Krishna is changing the topic. Actually he divides the topic now. Till now, what we talked about is called the Sankhya. Sankhya Yoga, Sankhya. So the entire chapter is called the Sankhya Yoga, given this name. Very, very important chapter. Actually, it is from verse 12 to 30. We already told in the last class. From 12 to 30, it is Atma, Anatma, Viveka. Atma and Anatma, the body, the Viveka, the discriminative ability to understand and talk. They are discussed separately. So it is Atma, Anatma, Viveka is the topic, 12 to 13, called the Sankhya Yoga. The first argument is what? Vedantic level, 12 to 30 is all in the Vedantic level. This is only Sankhya. And later argument was what? From the point of view of Dharma, worldly things, all those things Krishna talked about. So Sankhya is another name for Vedanta. We have to understand that. Sankhya is another name for Vedanta or Upanishad. Literally means sanam. Sanam means revelation of the truth. Sankhya, sanam means the revelation of truth. Sam means clear. Clearly the truth is revealed. That's Sankhya. Sankhya means that portion where the self, the Atma, is very clearly revealed. Sankhya means only that much, where the Atma is very clearly revealed. Samyak kyayate Atma, Atma tattvam yasmin saha Sankhya. That is the definition. So that portion where the self is very clearly revealed. Now, of all the arguments given by Krishna, this alone is most important one, since if Arjuna understood this alone, all others are not necessary. if he understands Atma, all others are, they are all ephemeral. There is no need to worry about any of them at all if he understands self-awareness is there. So he could have got moksha itself. Moment self-awareness is got moksha. No problem at all. So through the Atma Anatma Jnana, by the awareness of both Atma and the Anatma, no problem at all will be there for him if he understands that very clearly. So that is the goal. But the latter arguments are like first aid. If he doesn't understand it, they are like first aid. There are secondary arguments only. The problem might be solved temporarily by the secondary argument, by the first aid. If another battle comes, again Krishna has to start from A for apple again. So if he doesn't understand it now, if another battle comes, Arjuna is not going to understand, Krishna has to again start teaching the same thing again. So that is why we say Vedanta as Sankhya. Sankhya is not a solution for a problem. It is a solution for all problems. That is Sankhya. Vedanta is a solution for all problems. It is not a solution for a problem, any particular problem. But there is a problem here. What is that problem? Even though Sankhya solves all problems of life, understanding the Sankhya is the problem. It is very difficult. It solves all problems, all right. But understanding Sankhya is a problem. That is very, very difficult. Very, very, because it is very subtle. The more subtle a thing is, very difficult it is to understand. It is very subtle. So Arjuna might find it difficult to understand Sankhya, and that is why Krishna gives the later arguments. All other things Krishna gives because it may be difficult for Arjuna to understand. So if a person does not understand Vedanta, then what he should do? He should make himself fit first and again come to Vedanta. So do not say Vedanta is wrong. If Vedanta cannot be understood, that means we are yet not ready to understand Vedanta. We should go and make our qualifications fine-tuned and then acquire all those things necessary and make ourselves fit to understand Vedanta. He cannot skip it. Oh, it is difficult. Let me skip it. No. If somebody wants moksha, this is the only way. So this is the only route to go to moksha. So if somebody wants to go to moksha, Vedanta is the only route. And for that, if somebody is not ready, to make themselves ready is the question. That is the effort first and then come here. He cannot skip it at all because some people may have to take life after life to come to Vedanta and then understand it. Very difficult. Then why are we not understanding Vedanta? If that is going to be the ultimate solution for gaining moksha, why are we not understanding? That's the question. So it can be that the teacher may be not in a position to explain it properly. There may be a teacher's dosha. Sometimes, many times teachers have dosha. Because they may not be able to explain properly. So, explain properly means what? Whatever is given in the scriptures only should be taught by the teacher. But the teacher may not understand the scriptures himself very well. Why? He has not come through a parampara. If the teacher has come through a parampara of teachers, then that teacher learned from another teacher, who learned from another teacher, it goes through the parampara of all learned people who learned the scriptures very well. If somebody just starts by himself and starts to teach, then what is the problem? He will be adding his own colors to that, and you may go here and there. People, and they are all like quack doctors, these are all quack teachers. So all those things can happen. So this is teacher's dosha. But in this case, can we say teacher's dosha can be there in Bhagavad Gita? Teacher is whom? Krishna himself. So there is no dosha of the teacher at all. So if there is any problem, it is the defect on the part of the student, on the part of Arjuna, on the part of all of us. We are all students. Like Arjuna. So if there is a problem in understanding, it is the problem of us and not of the teacher. So teacher, there is no dosha at all. So problem is with the Sishya only. And what is the problem with the student then? The problem can be only one thing, that person does not have the qualification to understand Vedanta yet. Sadhana Chatushtayam Sampannaha, he is not yet. So he has to go and gain that first. And what are those? Two main things that we talked about already is he should have first chitta shuddhi, impurity. All the impurities should go away, mind should be pure. Only when the mind is clear and pure, Vedanta will stay there. So mind has to be pure. And once the mind is pure, it should also have one-pointed focus, chitta ekagrata. We already gave this example. We have got a blackboard where we want to draw some picture or something. First the board should be clean. Only when the board is clean, you can draw a picture. And the board should be also what? It cannot be moving. It should be steady. If the board is not steady, you cannot draw also. So first boat should be clean, chitta shuddhi, mind should be clean. It should be steady, chitta ekagrata, mind should be focused and should be steady. Both are important. First we should gain these two qualifications. Mind should be made pure and mind should be steady. This is called sadhana chatushtayam, sampatti, which we already saw in Tattva Bodha earlier. Chitta shuddhi, purity of the mind gives what? Vairagyam. We saw all these things earlier, I am only mentioning that. It gives you vairagyam, dispassion. Chitta ekagrata, chitta naishchalyam gives you what? Chitta samadhanam, that one pointedness, that focus of the mind. So all these things should be there. So the impurities of the mind are what? When you say mind should be made pure, the impurity should be removed. What are the impurities of the mind? Two terrible impurities. What are those two? Raga and Dvesha. Attachment and Dvesha. These are the two things. So great obstacles for Vedantic inquiry. As long as Raga Dvesha is there, Vedanta will not enter that easily. That means you divide the world into two. I like this, I do not like this. I favor this, I do not favor this. All this dichotomy is there all the time in the minds of people. Then the mind has time for only those kinds of reactions every moment. I like this, I do not like it. All reactions. All the time, mind goes only to an irritated person all the time. Yeah, he doesn't like something. All these things. Or reacting man can never, a person who is irritated, who is reactive. You know, a lot of people who are reactive. For any small thing, you immediately react. So such people, for them, sattva, chitta, they will definitely do not understand. Ananda definitely is not going to be with them at all. In such chitta itself, they will not understand. Where is ananda? They will never get. So when this is gone, mind is supposed to be pure. When raga dvesha is gone, mind becomes pure, vairagyam comes, shuddhi, chitta shuddhi. And what is the second obstacle? The second obstacle is a wandering mind. A mind which is vacillating in multi directions. 100% available for any. It is not at all for, no mind is available 100% for a given job. All the time, when we are sitting in the class itself, so many things. What is the next program? Who is going to give me a ride? What is the dinner? How to pick up my wife, husband? These are all going there. Because that's the nature of mind. It is not the defect of a person. It is nature of mind is supposed to be vacillating. Sankalpa, vikalpa, atmaka, managa. The mind's ability is to only oscillate. It will go back and forth. Nishchayatmika buddhi. Only intellect will hold the mind and say this is the right thing to do. But normally what happens? We don't give rise to our intellect to take over. We are still slaves to our mind going here and there back and forth. So actually there is the Upanishad they give the example. First you must fix the arrow to the bow. Only after making sure that it is straight. If that is that some particular thing, you have got some aim, you want to aim at some object. The arrow should be straight towards that object. So that is first thing. You should first fix it straight. That is chitta shuddhi. And then the arrow should be sharp. Chitta ekagrata. Then only it will hit the target. So both should be there. And how to get these two? That is the problem which many of us have. Question is how to get these two? How to achieve chitta shuddhi and how to get chitta ekagrata, the focus of the mind. For this alone, two sadhanas are prescribed. For chitta shuddhi, the sadhana, the exercise is what? Karma yoga. So karma yoga for chitta shuddhi. For purity of mind, karma yoga. And for chitta ekagrata, for the one point of attention, what is the sadhana? Upasana, meditation. So meditation for chitta ekagrata. And purity of mind, chitta shuddhi is karma yoga. Karma yoga and bhakti yoga, they are all straightening and sharpening the arrow. The jnana yoga is for what? Getting liberation, then you shoot the arrow. Jnana marga, you shoot the arrow, then you will get liberation. All these three things are important. Chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, jnana yoga, all these three things are important. Of this karma yoga and upasana are the first portion talked in the Veda Purva Pada. Bhaga, the karma kanda portion of Vedas. I told this earlier. Vedas you can divide into two parts. First portion is called the karma kanda and the Purva Bhaga, and the second portion is called Vedanta. So the first portion deals with all these things, karmas and upasanas. Talks about all these things in the first portion, and jnana yoga is the final portion, Veda Antaha. That is like the actual shooting of the arrow. The other thing is only fixing the arrow and sharpening the arrow, all those things. This shooting is actually jnana yoga. It is not sufficient that we need all the three. We cannot change the order also. We We cannot change the order also. We cannot say, first I will shoot, then I will sharpen the arrow. Doesn't work. You have to see the arrow straight. You have to sharpen, it should be a sharpened arrow. And then only you should shoot. So you cannot even change the order. So first preparation of the mind. Important. Karma and bhakti and then jnana. So through karma yoga, fix the mind. Karma yoga, clean the mind. And then through jnana, through upasana, straighten the mind and fix the focus. And then through jnana yoga, go to jnana. So that is why Krishna, he is not suggesting here that we can, because he talked about Sankhya yoga first. Second chapter is Sankhya yoga. Karma yoga comes in the third chapter. So Krishna is not trying to violate this order. This order has to be maintained. Karma yoga only has to come first. But he is not trying to violate. But Krishna teaches Sankhya yoga for two reasons. He has got some reasons. First, for example, suppose you think Arjuna is already an enlightened person. He is already an adhikari. Sadhana chaturthaya sampanna. He is already an adhikari, a person who is. So if you teach him again karma yoga, he is not going to like it. He is already a person who is evolved. So he may be a great student who may be already evolved, because he spoke about all this dharma and all in the first chapter. Arjuna talked as if he is the great enlightened soul. That's what he did. All these things, he talked all that. So from that one might gather this person is already evolved. So to him you don't have to teach karma yoga and all chitta shuddhi and all. You don't have to teach him. Give him jnana yoga. Maybe possible. So no need to give fundamentals. And second thing is, in the beginning, if this is introduced, the student now knows where he has to go ultimately. So normally when we say, when we give some topic or something, you tell what is the ultimate goal of the topic. You tell that first. The moment you tell that first, the student knows, okay, this is where I should reach. So all other things he will know relate to that goal. If they are not told, if that is not told, he will not relate all the studies, previous studies to that goal. So Krishna now tries to give Sankhya as the ultimate goal. This is the goal you should reach to. So as Arjuna is taught, he will relate to every one of the teaching towards that goal. So these are the reasons why Krishna might put Sankhya Yoga first. So adjust your life in such a way that you can come to Jnana Yoga at the end. That is the teaching. You adjust your life. How you will do it? The scriptures tell us how to do it. How to get Chitta Shuddhi? Scriptures tell. How to get Chitta Ekagrata? Scriptures tell. Follow all these procedures. Go to your teacher. Learn from him. Prepare yourself for Jnana Yoga. If you are not prepared, then I will introduce Karma Yoga and Upasana first to you. Krishna is going to tell that also. So Krishna is not going to just let it lie loose. He is going to tell him how to go through acquiring this qualification also. So Krishna says here, Imam Buddhim Shruno. Shruno. Now listen. Listen to this is following knowledge. Imam Buddhim. Imam Buddhim. This is not following knowledge. Till now I taught you Vedanta. Sankhya is what he taught. I taught Vedanta. If you have not understood, now listen. Which is called Yoga. Yogaha. This is Yogaha. Karma Yoga and Upasana together is called Yoga here in this shloka. Both Karma Yoga and Upasana meditation, both are called Yoga here. May you listen to Yoga as opposed to Sankhya. If you are not prepared, may you listen to Yoga as opposed to Sankhya. Yoga. Yesha te bihita Sankhya. Yesha means this. Te means to you. Abhihita. Abhihita means declared to you. So far I have taught you Sankhya. So now you listen to this thing. Buddhya yaya yuktaha. Yaya yuktaha means endowed with this knowledge of yoga. Endowed with this knowledge of yoga. Yoga. Partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Partha Arjuna. You will give up all bonds, all bondages caused by karma. Prahasyasi. All bondages arising out of karma, you will get rid of them. You will get rid of them. So karma itself does not directly bind anybody. No action binds anybody. No action binds. But what binds? The karma phalam binds. The result of an action only binds a person. The action itself does not bind any person. Sukham and dukkham are because of the karma phalam, not by the action itself. So we completely lose our senses. Karma binds a person through phalam. Karma binds a person through phalam only. The results. And the results bind the person by doing what? By creating a reaction in the mind. Based on the result of the karma, some reaction arises in the mind. If it is a good result, good reaction. So bad result, bad reaction. So it creates a reaction in the mind, and the reaction is one type of bondage also. The reaction is also another type of bondage. If it is success, he becomes greedy and arrogant. If the result is success, the person becomes greedy, he can become arrogant. More and more he may want, or he may become, I am the greatest guy, all many things. If it is failure, what happens? Depression comes, anxiety comes, inferiority complex comes. Again, so reaction also leads to more. It gives more and more. So constant reaction is one type of bondage also. Constantly a reacting mind, another type of bondage also. And another type of bondage is also called the punyam and papam. Also bondage. Punyam, you did a good karma, punyam comes. So bondage. Papam comes, another bondage. So these are all unseen results. So some results are drishta palam, which can be seen. Some results are adrishta palam, which cannot be seen. Papam punyam, adrishta palam. You cannot see them. Whereas getting something else materially or something, you can see immediately. It's drishta palam. So janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, all these things are all what? They are all perpetuating samsara. They are all again karma phala. So karma binds a person in two ways. By causing reaction, number one, by causing punarjanma, maranam, etc. Other way. So this is how karma binds a person. Any action binds a person in these two ways. So Krishna says, if you practice the yoga, karma yoga, upasana, that I am going to teach, you will get rid of both of these problems. You will get rid of reaction problem, you will also get rid of punarjanma problem. That's what Krishna says. And how, etc., Krishna is going to elaborate now. Neha vikramana shosti.
Neha vikramana shosti. Neha vikramana shosti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Pratyavayo na vidyate. Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Neha vikramana shosti. Pratyavayo na vidyate.
Neha vikramana shosti. Pratyavayo na vidyate. Having the agenda of getting all those things, another one is just playing for the sake of playing.
am spending a quite nice evening with my friend playing a beautiful tennis. But the Palan, he also got all the exercise, he got everything, no problem at all, but without any irritation, without any anxiety. He got all the things, no problem at all. So with the game remaining same, in one case, I get only benefit from the point of view of health. That's all I'm getting in one case. Whereas in the external thing, where all the other things, the name and fame are all coming, there is a tremendous reaction. So action remaining the same, a person who is not a karma yogi, who is a karmi, we call him a karmi in Vedanta. Karmi is a person who is just only an action-oriented person. His attention is always focused on what? The karma phala, the result. So for a karmi who is only action-oriented, for him, his aim is always on the karma phala. That is the result of the action. That's only the thing, and that person can never enjoy doing the karma itself. He cannot do it because he is always focused on the karma phala. Not only that, when the karma phala is negative or inadequate, what happens? Reaction becomes inevitable. Reaction is it can be very violent reaction also sometimes. So, karmi goes through mental pain, mental tension, reaction, depression, all those things come to a karmi. The guy who does only action, who is only action oriented, ending up in what? Drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. People go through all kinds of things because he is just only action oriented, always concentration is only on the phala. But in the karma yogi, what he does not pay attention to the phala. He does not pay attention to the material gain at all. Seeks only an internal satisfaction, a spiritual progress. He wants, the person material gain, but does not put his heart into that. He also wants to perhaps spin or whatever. He wants material loss. He gets a good exercise, good time spent. Wants, but doesn't put his heart into that. So that is not the primary goal for him. That's why Adishankara, what he says, Mooda Jahihi, Dhanagama Krishna, Krishna, Purusad Buddhim, Manasi Vitrishna, Yellabase Nijakarmopatam, Vittam Tena, Vinodaga Chittam. Do not grieve too much. With minimum, live happily. Whatever is required for your life, got it, live happily with them. Don't give undue importance to all the other material things and all. With failure, actually more and more maturity should come. With failure, more and more depression should not come. Because if you are oriented towards only the phalam, you are going to get more depressed. So, like tennis, if I turn my attention to only spiritual growth, every action is going to uplift me only spiritually. It only enlighten me only. Whether it is materially a failure or not, does not matter. It is going to give me an internal upliftment. So it comes with proper attitude, how you look at it. So action remaining the same. If your outlook is towards the phalam, karmi. If the outlook is, the attitude is such, regardless of phalam, it is giving me internal peace. It is giving me good things. That's the attitude. So the difference from karma and karma yoga is, with karma, the focus is on the external gain or loss. And with karma yoga, it aims only on internal progress. It comes with this attitude. So the differences are enumerated in this sloka. Abhikramaha, nashaha, na asti. Futility or failure. Abhikrama nashaha means futility or failure is not there in karma yoga. In karma yoga, it is not there. That's the first difference. Karma can end up in failure, but karma yoga will never end up in failure or success. Karma can. Pratyavayaha siddhyate. The second difference is what? Negative result. Pratyavayaha is negative result. In karma yoga, there is nothing like a negative result. Whereas in karma, there is always a negative result or a positive result. Abhikramaha nashaha. So not getting positive result or non-result. Non-result also, business, in a business there can be no profit. Sometimes losing capital is another thing. Sometimes you may not lose anything, but you may not gain anything also. It's just a status quo. Also, it's not possible. So, when you take a medicine also, you can have a medicine to cure a disease. It's fine. If it doesn't cure a disease, if it doesn't cause anything else, it's fine. But it may cause some other side reaction, which may be worse than the primary disease sometimes. Many people die of the secondaries in so many treatments than the primary perhaps. We don't know. So depending on all these things, all those things are possible in karma, in action. Whereas in karma yoga, none of those things are possible. So svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayate. Karma can give result only when it is completed.
When you do an action, when you get the full result, only when it is completed. Action has to be completed, then only you can get the result. Otherwise, you cannot get the result at all in an action. For example, a game example, you can have so many elimination rounds. You are going for some whatever cup, Wimbledon cup, so many elimination cup, you go, went through all of them. You did not make it to the finals. Did you get anything out of it? Nothing. So many actions you did. Till you complete the thing and finally go through the finals, you cannot get the cup. That is action. Same way, whether you dig a well or whatever it is. If you have to dig 100 feet, you have to dig the full 100 feet to get water. You cannot say 50 feet, let me get 20% water. Doesn't work. You have to dig the entire thing. So all these rituals, rituals in Veda, this is always the problem. Veda, Purva Bhaga, the Karmakanda portion prescribes so many rituals. You can do this ritual, you can get this. If you do this ritual, you will get that. All this you can do, no problem. But what is the problem there? All ritual has to be done perfectly, completely. You cannot say, okay, let me complete 70% of the ritual and get this 70% of the result. It doesn't work. You have to complete it fully. Then only the results can be fully available. It's not available otherwise. In karma, unless all factors are done properly, phalam is not possible in karma, in action alone. Whereas in karma yoga, to the extent one has done, phalam is there. Because even the guy has not gone to the finals in the Wimbledon, he played 10 matches, let us say 5 elimination rounds. Fine. He is happy. 5 eliminations. Because his attitude is not towards the cup. His attitude was going through this process and trying to get the best of what you could have. That's all I'm saying. So, swalpamati, a little of karma yoga will give the power. Swalpamati means the little. Even a little of karma yoga will give the power. So, and the third difference is what? Karma needs completion for the fruit, whereas karma yoga, the fruit, whatever extent it is completed, you get the fruit. Between karma and karma yoga, that is another difference. So, sarpam apyasya dharmasya, even a little bit of dharma, karma yoga, trayate, it protects, it saves a person from all this anxiety, fear, depression, all that, protects a person. Mahatobaya, from the great danger of samsara. Mahatobaya, here Mahatobaya refers to the big, great danger of samsara. It protects the person even if it is a small amount of karma yoga. So, even a little bit will give little chitta shuddhi. If he does with that attitude, it will give that much extent purity of mind. That's what he is going to get. So, which will further lead to more chitta shuddhi as he pursues further. So, even a small amount of dharma will give him that much purity of the mind. Ultimately, it will lead him to sankhya or to moksha. It can do that. It will not directly protect from samsara, will take him from fear of sankhya, from fear of all this Vedanta and all that thing. Mind gets more and more pure, then he will be able to understand the concepts and he will be able to elevate himself to understand Vedanta. So actually the exact meaning of this shloka we will understand more when we deal with karma yoga, because this only Krishna is only introducing it here. We are going to see the entire thing in detail later. So at that time we will clearly picture all of that. So the difference between karma and karma yoga, it is applicable to our own lives. This is not theoretical. This is applicable to our own day-to-day life. Krishna is going to talk about these things from the 48th sloka onwards in this chapter. He is going to do that. Now it is only glorification of karma and karma yoga. What is karma yoga and what is karma? Glorification of karma yoga. So yoga stuti. Yoga stuti is the topic here. Because for the human psychology is what? First I should know the result. I should know what is in it for me. Once I know that, then I am interested. I will decide whether I am interested or not. That is what normally people say. So first the result is given here. So that is what, coming to Gita class, what will I get? The first poem. Then maybe we think about the coming. Yes? Yes, sir.
Is there anything different between karma and karma yoga? Likewise, is there a difference between bhakti, bhakti yoga,
jnana, jnana
yoga also?
Yeah, actually, there is not this kind of difference. Bhakti and karma can be linked together. Bhakti comes under the upasana portion. Both are called karma yoga here. Karma yoga and upasana. In bhakti, for example, I am going to talk about it. Next, we are going to do that. For example, Vishnu Sahasranam. You go on reciting Vishnu Sahasranam for that 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Mind is all focused towards. So, for that, in the Palastuti, it says, it's all upasana. It is not karma. You are not doing any action. Just only doing meditation.
At the end of it, it says all these palams are given here. You will get this, a person who wants artharthi, he will get artha, he will come, arthi, he will get kama, all those things he will get also. So that is also part of karma only. Karma and bhakti yoga put together. Whereas jnana yoga, you go through jnana yoga to get jnana. Jnana yoga and karma, it's jnana is ultimate. To gain knowledge, you go through jnana yoga. Jnana yoga is the process, jnana is ultimate. The moment you go through jnana yoga, achieve jnana, that very instant, you get moksha. There is no time lag between getting jnana and getting moksha. Moment jnana you get, moksha is immediately got. Jnana yoga is the process. For that you have to go shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all those processes have to be gone through. Then once you go through, mind gets is already pure, ekagrata is already gained, then you get all the Vedanta concepts, reflect on them. So jnana is the ultimate. Once you gain jnana, moksha is instant. There is no time. So exactly, Krishna is going to give the thing later. So Sishya Bhuktim Pravrochanartham, to develop the interest in the mind of the student, Krishna talks about Karma Yoga topic here briefly. Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi.
Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi. Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi.
Ekehe Kuru Nandana.
Ekehe Kuru Nandana. Ekehe Kuru Nandana.
Karma Yoga, which gives what? Chitta Shuddhi, purity of mind. When I say Chitta Shuddhi and all, now you understand, purity of mind. Now he is going to glorify Chitta Naischalya, this Ekagrata, Chitta Ekagrata, one-pointed mind, the glory of a steady mind. That's what he is going to glorify now. So this indicates Upasana. The steady mind comes out of meditation, Upasana, Chitta Ekagrata, Chitta Samadhanam, all these terms we already saw earlier. I'm just using them so that you can familiar with those words. So he is praising them. And Krishna calls it here as Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi. That is the new term he is introducing. Vyavasayatmika, Vyavasayaka, Vyavasayaka, Nischayaka. Firm, definite, decision, determination, resolution, all this Vyavasayaka. It's not, normally in Tamil there is Vyavasaya means agriculture. It's not that Vyavasaya. This is Vyavasayaka, decision. So Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi means that intellect which has got resoluteness. The one that can make a decision, which can resolve properly. Eka is one-pointed, has only one goal in front. Moksha is the only goal, nothing else. Where, Iha Kuru Nandana, in this world itself, it's not that I will worry about it sometime later. Now itself, what is my goal? Moksha. Iha Kuru Nandana. And what is that? He is not said here. We have to understand. Krishna doesn't say that goal is what he is not telling. Here we should understand. It has this moksha. That is the only goal. So all this money, family, good life, all those things, they are all intermediary goals. You can get all of them, doesn't matter. But that is not the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal is only moksha. So even the ashramas, okay, he became a sannyasi. That is not the ultimate goal either. Moksha is the ultimate goal. These are all steps. You can go through the steps. So dharma, artha and kama, they are only stepping stones. Moksha alone is the ultimate goal. Whereas for the karmis, all other people, these are karmayogas. For the karmis, avyavyasayana. Avyavyasayana means whose mind is not resolute, opposite of vyasayana. So these are all people whose mind is not resolute mind. That's a not firm mind, not a determined mind, not an intelligent mind. They are not clear of the goal at all. For such people, buddhayaha, the minds of such people are bahushaka. Bahushaka, multi-branched. It is all diverted, drawn here, there and all. Mind is not focused at all. Always diverted, digression. Everything is attracting this person. Anantascha. And how many of them are there? Countless. There are so many distractions. Everything tears away this person. Actually, Chinmaya Swamiji, he gives a story. There is a competition. a king, he has to now find out a successor for him. And those days, there are so many ways by which they do that. The successor, if he doesn't have a legal heir himself, then normally the king's elephant will go and put down and somewhere, there is some way. And in this country, they have this peculiar this thing. There will be a huge fair arranged, huge fair. And the king will hide in the fair somewhere. And the guy who finds the king becomes the king. So that is the competition there. Okay? Raja Drishta, Raja Bhavati. The one who sees the Raja, finds the Raja, becomes Raja. Very easy. So now everybody will enter into the gates of this fair. A huge fair. All these hundreds and thousands of people, they want to become king, they all enter into the gates. Everybody enters there with only one goal. All their goal is what? To find the king. Everybody's goal is same. Now, one guy now goes, the moment he enters, immediately on the left hand side, beautiful masala dosa stall is there. He says, he has got one full day to find the king. They said, before sunset of today, you got to find the king. Masala dosa is there, let me spend sometimes 10 minutes. Very hot, piping hot. Sit 10 minutes. Goes there, beautiful library is there. So he says, okay, the king might be perhaps hiding inside the library. Let me go look at that. But there is a beautiful title. So immediately person says, let me look at the title. Half an hour gone, 45 minutes gone, 1 hour gone. Goes around all over the place. So many distractions. So many people. Some neighbor comes, picks up some hello, and then ends up in another gossip of some third guy. Very interesting. It goes on for another 1-2 hours. It's gone. Everybody spends time like this. And there is one guy, he goes to a place, there is a temple also in the fair. There is a small place of worship, whatever. There is a beautiful Shivalingam there. People are all sitting and then they are singing bhajans. So this guy goes there and he sits there also for a few minutes. He also enjoys the mind, but he knows, oh no, I got to come here to find the king now. So even though bhajan is nice, I got to find the king, and he looks at the Shivalingam. And what is this Shivalingam? This Shivalingam does, it's not just looking at Shivalingam, there is a door in this Shivalingam. Let me go and open the door. He opens the door, there sits the king. So among the thousands and thousands of people who all had the same goal, who entered into the fire, there was only one guy whose focus was only on that particular focus, and then he could find the king. Same way in life also, we are all given the same opportunity. The moment we are born, goal is ultimate. Moksha is our entitlement. There is moksha not denied to anybody because he is this caste, he is this religion. No. Whether it is man, woman, boy, old, doesn't matter. Moksha is available for everybody. But we all lose track of it. We are all diverted by so many other things in life. This doesn't appear at all. You go to that, the puja, even if you go to the temple, all the sankalpa is shemas, taidya, virya, vijaya, avaya, ayuva, arogya, aishwarya. All these things are, is there any moksha samraja siddhyattam? Never. Jnana vairagya siddhyattam? Never. We don't pray for those things at all because it is not in the mind. Even though that opportunity is available, we don't make use of it. We don't think along those lines at all because diversions are so much. And that is how mind is drawn. So this mind is not a steady mind. This mind is a vacillating mind. This mind is not a pure mind. It's an impure mind. That is why it gets digressed. Raga dvesha is so much. So that is the problem. Even though the goal is available for everybody, the opportunity is available for everybody. Only one or two, only they become jnanis, only they get the final thing. So in the same way, the whole life is also a fact. So we are trying to search for the universal king. Who is the universal king here? Brahman. Brahman is the universal king. We are all trying to search for him. We are not trying to understand that it is within. We are trying to search for it all over the place. So this is the problem. So what happens? When we are children, what we do? Balastavatim krida saksaha. When we are children, all the time play. Always we want fun. The moment we come from school, do the homework and throw it away, run. Immediately, balastava krida saksaha. All the time mind is in play, this game, that game. Tarunastava tarni saksaha. Whatever may be the thing that is arising at that point, only worry about that, address that. And Vrithastavati Chinta Saksaha, the guy gets old, what problem, always worried. Brother, will daughter-in-law, will she give me the same coffee tomorrow? All problems, all the time think about only these things. Because mind is like, will this son come in? This son is better than that son will he take care of me? All the time. Or when I write the will, to whom, how much I should write? 40% to him, 30% to him, or equal to him? All these worries are all only that. Chinta saktaha. All the time, not even 1 minute we want to think, I want to gain moksha. That is, we are born for that goal. We never think of that goal at all. And when we become 90, 95, you look back, aha, 95 years are gone, what have I done? At that time it won't come. Just like that. Normally they say, will, at the time of death you call Narayana, Narayana will come. Narayana will come definitely if you call Narayana. If you call that Narayana, he will come. You call that Narayana who gave you $25 loan or $50 loan you gave him. You are thinking of that Narayana, see I am going to die, this guy did not return my $100. You will give that Dhritra Narayana only, he will come. It won't come because at the time of death, your free will is not in your control. Everything is in a reversal mode. Everything is thrown up. So at that time, your free will is not acting. You cannot say, my free will act, so I will call Narayana. It doesn't act. You have no control on your free will at the time. Very good. So when this is happening, we should sow the seeds right from now. There is nothing like tomorrow. Jnana Marga has to be pursued right from now. If it is not done so far, fine. It should be started right now. That's what scripture says again and again, but we forget them. So, avyavasayinam buddhihim bahushakaha. Let me see it every day. Multi branch, all these attentions. And how many branches are there? Anantascha. Anantascha. Countless preoccupations of the mind. Countless preoccupations. And unfortunately, what is the main thing? That is lost take, lost track of. This is called chitta samadhanam. Chitta samadhanam or chitta ekagrata is that one point attention on that goal and that goal alone. Or chitta naishchalyam or chitta samadhanam. And how do they get distracted? As in the fact, there are so many things to attract us. Right? Here also there are so many things to attract. What are those things? Actually, next three slokas Krishna is going to club them together to say which are those things that are going to attract us. Actually, we let everything, there are five gates through which we allow everything to enter into us. We hear, we see, we smell, we touch. So many things, all these gates let so many distractions enter into us. And we don't selectively let them come. We let everything to come. And when we let everything to come, then we get conned by them. Mind gets distracted by all of them. So Krishna is going to talk about how these distractions come, all those things in the next set of slokas, which we will see in the next class. Yes.
Chitta ekagrata, chitta naishchalyam, right? Does it mean that a karma yogi would have completely got that or is in the process only, right?
No, he has not completely got only chitta shuddhi.